Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carl Felt is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard.
This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Prints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and a wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Prints at instantprints.com/Boise or call 200-IMPRINTS. That's 208-467-7468. Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carl Felt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Carl Felt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started. Well, welcome, Kristen, to the Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carl Felt, and I'm the co-host, Tanya. Dr. Carl Felt is going to pop in just a little bit with us. So for the time being, we can go ahead and let you introduce yourself and where you're from.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
I'm Kristen Kilroy. I'm from Massachusetts. I have two girls, 17 and 15, and two dogs and a husband.
Okay. You got a house full then, for sure.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful for you joining us tonight. And I know it's not your story that you're sharing. It's going to be your daughter's story, which is just incredible. And I know sometimes at that young age, it's certainly hard for them to kind of talk about it and go down that journey again. So just let her know that what you're sharing tonight is going to be super valuable to so many listeners out there that, you know, they're having that bad day or they're stuck in their treatment and they don't know how to move forward and they want to give up. So that is why we do these podcasts, is to give them that inspiration that, you know, if this person was this bad, you can definitely get through it. So I appreciate you taking the time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about how old she was, and her name's Kaylee, correct?
Kylie.
Okay.
Kylie, yep.
I'll probably call her Kaylee again, but Miss Kylie, we love your name.
Right.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about how old she was, if you knew she got bit or when she started getting sick, kind of just start from the beginning.
Well, when we first found out she had Lyme disease, she was in fifth grade, and that was in 2014. However, she was bit by a tick going in, she was in kindergarten, so she was about 5 years old. And back then I didn't know anything about it. And primary care said, just watch for the rash or a bullseye. If there's nothing, don't worry about it. She never had any antibiotics. She never had any, and that tick was embedded. Like, I had to get that sucker
out. Get it out. Yeah.
Yeah. And nothing ever happened of that for there. But then now that I look back, I know this was all Lyme disease related, because first grade, she started with these really very bad stomach pains. She would actually pass out from the pain in her stomach. We brought her to Boston Children's Hospital, and they diagnosed her. I mean, they did upper GIs, lower GIs, and they diagnosed her with abdominal migraines. So they were treating her with that. And we were like, okay, so, you know, that should get better. And she was being treated for those, I believe, for 2 years. But she was never healthy again after Kindergarten. Kindergarten. Now that we look back, we're like, okay, so second grade to fourth grade, I go by years that she was in school because that's how I remember everything.
It's easy to remember, right?
Yes, because it was that. So she had bronchitis. So from second grade to fourth grade, she had bronchitis multiple times. She always had the flu. And here, I don't know if the flu is the same everywhere, but type A and type B, and she always got them both. And they were like, oh, her immune system must be low. We'll have to make sure she takes extra vitamins and this and that. Okay, fine. Pneumonia, constant joint pain and muscle pains. And they kept telling me that it was growing pains because she was tall. She was tall for her age. She was in the 75th percentile. So I took that as that. And then in the summer going into fifth grade, I got Lyme disease and I tested positive. And 2 weeks later, she had my exact symptoms. So I brought her in and she tested positive. So they put her on the doxycycline. So now she's in fifth grade.
Okay.
They put her on the doxycycline and she had an allergic reaction where she just broke out in burn blisters, like all of her hands and her anything that stuck out, her ears, her hands, her lips, her nose. So they had to take her off of that. But they waited like 4 days and put her on amoxicillin for only, I think, 2 weeks. And at that time, again, I didn't know much about it. And I asked, is amoxicillin going to be enough? And they said, well, that's what she's going to have because she's allergic to doxycycline. So I was like, all right, well, obviously that's what we have to do. And by the end of September, October of her fifth grade year, so this is still 2014, her migraines were so bad and then she was out of school. Pretty much a lot of October, she was out of school with achiness, joint pain, and then migraines really bad. So I brought her back to Children's to a neurologist and they did all this testing and the sleep testing and everything. And they said there was nothing wrong with her. She needed attention. They gave me a psychologist card. And then they said that maybe we should go to family counseling because there must be something going on in our house and whatever. And that clearly wasn't it. By November, at Thanksgiving time, she was really, really sick and she was treated for sinus infection and pneumonia. And then by December, she had 102 fever and a stomach bug and she was in urgent care getting IV. But then on the 15th, she was back at the doctor's because she was still 102 fever. And they said, oh, it's just the flu that's going around, which, okay, it could have been. On December 28th, we went back because she was 104 fever and flu-like symptoms, strep, everything. She came back positive for strep. So they kept telling me that's what it was, but they were treating what the Lyme disease was actually causing for her. Instead of, I kept saying, are you sure the Lyme disease isn't back? And they said, oh, no, it doesn't come back. She won't get it back. So I listened to them and luckily I have a friend, well, not luckily at the same time, but our friend's daughter was going through this a little bit ahead of us. And she said to me, you need to go take her to see a Lyme doctor. It's Lyme disease. I'm like, okay, yeah, when she's better. Well, then in January, she ended up with the flu twice. She was in the hospital. She was 104 fever. And then in February, so she missed most of her fifth grade class towards the end of the year. She ended up with fever is pretty much most of February. She ended up with pneumonia again. So they treated her for that. And then by February of like 2015, we started seeing a Lyme doctor and he did testing and found out she had co-infection. So I had no idea what that was. So I checked on that and he treated her with like kind of like natural stuff. He gave her more amoxicillin. But then by the fall of 2015, or it was like right before she was starting sixth grade, he said he wasn't comfortable treating her anymore because her Lyme disease was so far gone, like has taken over her body so much because her spleen was enlarged and she had all her IgG levels weren't coming back right. And it was just too much for him to handle because he didn't know enough about it. So we seeked out multiple, I don't even know how many doctors after that. And I found, I got her in with a very good doctor in New Haven. And then he took her on. And that was probably, it was her sixth grade. It was right before she started sixth grade. So like 2016, But by that time, she had already had a hard time walking. I remember her first appointment, I had her in a wheelchair pushing her in because she couldn't walk. She could walk from my house to the car, but if we had to park in a parking lot that was too far, she couldn't make it. And she was too big for me at that time. We're the same height, not anymore, but we were. And I couldn't carry her on my back or anything. So I had to put her in a wheelchair and we brought her in. So when she first saw him, he knew right away, everything, what to test for, all these co-infections and everything. And she did end up with like 9 of the co-infections. And then he was the one that told me that it was the Ehrlichia that was probably causing her liver and kidneys to not come back with the right numbers. And everything was like slowly stopping to work. So we had to go to Mass General for infectious disease because this doctor, the Lyme doctor, had said her IgG levels were bad, that she basically almost didn't have an immune system. So they put her, we went into Mass General. I brought all my paperwork because we had the Lyme doctor, all the tests that he ran. And when I told them she had Ehrlichia also, they said, absolutely not. There's no way she has Ehrlichia. How do you know that? And I said, well, I have a positive test right here. And they said, nope, only dogs can get that. There's no way she has that. So I showed them, and then I showed them that she had Lyme disease, and they said that the tests weren't true. That's not the lab that they use, so they can't go by that. So they did put her on immunoglobulin infusions. So it's like a blood transfusion every week I had to give her. It took about an hour and a half, 3 needles in her stomach. And that started to build up her immune system a little bit. But at the same time, she was still taking 36 pills for her Lyme disease and the co-infections and everything else that she had had. So she was still very sick and really not feeling well. I don't know how many.
It took a lot of years away from her. So we finally are joined with our host, Dr. Carl Felt. This is Kristen.
Hello, Kristen. So I'm curious. So obviously the Western docs, they just want to do their Western blot and they only test for whatever is acute, and any other test is not valid in their mind.
Yep.
Obviously with the immune system being so shut down and not being able to produce, you know, when your IgG or immunoglobulin is so low, you know, it's hard to kill anything at that point. I think that is something that a lot of docs don't really look at. And I think a lot of people with Lyme disease don't recognize that you need to check and see what your immune response is. I mean, that you have an ability to actually mount an immune system response and go after these suckers. And if you don't have it, you can throw all these herbs and all these different things to try to kill things, but you don't have an immune system to do it with. So that is such a key. So how did she start to bounce back after these infusions?
She did. We did it every single Sunday morning. It took an hour and a half. And then I think it was the 4th month you go back and check, and they said they were coming up a little, but they still weren't enough. They were saying that she'd probably be doing them for the rest of her life, which fine. But after like 6 months, she started getting better. And then at that point also, we started to see a lady doing biomagnetic therapy treatment and started going that route. And after talking with her a lot, and Kylie was actually, I mean, she was still in a wheelchair. There was a point she, even while she was having the infusions, my husband would have to carry her down the stairs because we had a bed set up in the living room, because if we didn't, we would never see her because she could only stay in bed. So she was in bed all the time. Like when the tutor came to help her, sometimes she couldn't do school, but she did school from bed in my living room. Sometimes she would go over to the dining room, but he would have to carry her down in the morning so that she could actually be with us for the day, because I would have to walk her to the bathroom because she couldn't walk and we couldn't fit a wheelchair in our house. But anytime we left the house, she was in a wheelchair. And then there was times when she would just be so bad that she couldn't talk. And we would just know, like, one is a drink, two, she's hungry, which was never anything. But usually it was like one. But she doesn't, also it's kind of funny now because now she's 17, but she doesn't really remember a lot of it. So I don't know if her mind blocked it out on purpose.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
It's traumatizing. So, I mean, you don't want to remember that.
Right. So bringing her to like the doctors and stuff, you know, I would have to lift her up into the car and then you'd take her out into the wheelchair. And it was definitely eye-opening. It makes you appreciate what we have now. That's for sure.
Yeah. So you did all the immunoglobulin therapies and her immune system started to bounce back, but she was still in a wheelchair. So with all the different therapies that you were doing going after the co-infections, I mean, what kind of therapies were there? And how did you feel that you got an effect from that?
Yes, because I think we started her with the biomagnetic therapy while she was still taking the medications and the immunoglobulin infusions. The biomagnetic therapy treatment, I don't fully understand the whole thing, but it worked. So she said, give me 6 months. And I what else did we have to lose? My medicines weren't working. Nothing, none of that was working. So she said, if there's not a difference in 6 months, which is what this other person said, but we would know. But then she was like, the magnets work together and just like pull the pathogens and parasites out. And then the body has to detox. So she had to do so much like after a detox bath, she would be sick as a dog. It was the craziest thing I ever saw, but she was pulling in me. And then 3 days later, she'd be like, wow, mom, my hands don't hurt. I can write today. Like it was just, and she was talking more. And so with talking to the lady that was doing the biomagnetic treatment, she is a lot more of the holistic side and not that she would never say don't take medications, but I was asking her more about the healthier stuff. And then I found this osteopathic doctor. We started going to him and he said the same thing. If I don't start helping her in 6 months, then I don't want to waste your time and money or my time either, because he could help others. And I was like, okay, well, let's try that too. So between the two, I can't remember. It must have been, so she missed all of sixth grade. She missed all of seventh grade. And she went to school for half of eighth grade. And she still had the tutor for eighth grade, but it was the summer going into freshman year. Yes. I just looked at her and I'm like, you know what? I'm so sick of medications and you must be too. And I probably shouldn't have done it. And I'm not recommending it to anybody, but I took her off of everything, any medication that was a prescription that I had to fill. I said, I think your kidney's not working and your liver's not working because it's trying to do all this medicine. Let's just try and have your body work on its own with the immunoglobulin, the biomagnetic therapy treatment, and the osteopathic. And we took her off of everything for a month. I didn't have her do anything. And if she was going to get worse, then we obviously would wean things back in. And she started feeling better. So I was like, oh my gosh, I'm like 36 pills a day down to nothing. And now you're feeling better. Like this doesn't make sense to me. So then I started looking into other things. And so now she's on an isotonic form of, it's called OPC3, which is amazing for any kind of like autoimmune diseases or anything and inflammation, but she's taking vitamin D and B and multivitamins, and that she's not on anything right now. It's the craziest thing.
So you had this one doctor that before the osteopath and he was the Lyme doc that was, you know, did he mostly do pharmaceuticals or did he do herbal as well?
He did mostly pharmaceuticals, but also did tell you about the herbs and stuff, but he was very, if I compare them, he was very scientific and he was like one of my first doctors that was really well known. So I didn't understand everything he was doing, but I knew that he was saying you have to attack the Lyme disease and all the co-infections all at once in order to make this work. He's like, I know she's young, she's going to get sick, but she has to get sick before she gets better. And she did. But then I felt like there was a time when I was trying to call about this one particular medicine, rifampin, was making her hallucinate. Like as soon as we put her on, it was only 2 days in, and she was seeing things come out of the ceiling, and she was saying stuff was coming out of the fireplace when I wasn't there. And so I called him, and it took him a few days to call me back. So I was kind of like, oh, this isn't right. Like, so I took her off anyway, but I needed somebody that was like there, which is why I looked for another one after, plus the 2-hour ride. Exactly. 2-hour ride twice a week. It was 2 hours one way.
That's a lot.
Yeah. But
And the osteopath, and what did he do? Just mostly manipulation, or did he use any kind of herbal things?
Manipulation. And then he had her taking magnesium baths, mm-hmm, 3 times a week. And there was herbs and stuff, but it's like his own mixture. So I don't even know exactly what it would be. But it was his own mixtures of things, of herbs and different things that they found that worked with, like, Lyme patients, or he dealt with everybody, not just Lyme patients. But the biomagnetic therapy is the one we stuck with the longest. Because we stopped the osteopathic after a while, after her getting better, which that was really weird too, because there were times I had brought her in one time and I had to use the wheelchair. And I had a really hard time getting her out of the car because she couldn't move her arms or anything. So I got her into the wheelchair and I got her in there and we got her up on the bed and she walked out. It was the craziest thing. I'm like, what the? Like,
that's cool.
It was just strange. I know. And I'm like, what was that? But it was definitely strange. It showed that it's working.
So with the biomagnetic, did she use different frequencies for different pathogens, or did she use, you know, a certain type of magnets just to kind of pull the pathogens in, you know, from one location to another?
She used different size magnets for different size things. Mm-hmm. So she would say, like, she would do a body reading, and she would say, oh, this is acting up today. We're going to work on this. And then she would just put magnets in certain places of the body. It was very different.
And how would she do the body reading?
You laid on a bed and she just, she would take your legs and just kind of lift up, and she had a pendulum and she would go over your body with the pendulum. And that was freaky too, because she knew, like, so Kylie, you have to wear a headband here and a headband here so that it fits. And she had the headband on and she kept coming to this one spot and she's like, you have a scar or something. Is there a scar underneath the headband? And there was. And I'm like, so she was saying that scars, some of the certain parasites from Babesia, it's a harbor. It's like a boat harbor. So scars or tattoos, they tend to go to. And it was really funny because she did my Lyme treatment also, which I was not half as bad as my daughter, which is why I don't even tell my story, because it means nothing compared to hers. She was doing one of my treatments and I have a tattoo on my leg and she kept coming over to it. And I go, I don't have a scar there. She's like, but do you have a tattoo or something? I'm like, oh my God, yes. Like, it's very strange how she could read things, and she knew exactly what was bothering Kylie before she even told her.
And how did she fix the scar?
She didn't. She just put extra magnets. So she would put, like, one type of magnet here and then the other type on top of it, and then the other one would be in the back of her head.
Okay.
Or she'd, you know, put one at her ankle and one on her elbow that was supposed to be matching or something. I don't know how she does it.
That's awesome. Yeah, there is a way where you can use a magnet to kind of pull, like, for instance, if you have parasite in the gallbladder, you know, you can literally kind of pull the parasite out of the gallbladder and then pull it out through the intestines until you eliminate it.
We had, yes, because she had to have some maggots. And then we, on the way home, we had to go get some detox stuff. Oh, I think it was charcoal we had to go get for her. Because she's like, she's going to need this. She's going to detox a lot tonight, and she's going to feel really bad tomorrow. So I was like, oh, my God. And she did.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Yep. But it's so, prior to your daughter's Lyme disease, were you familiar at all with any other type of medicine besides traditional medicine?
Like, not really.
Yeah. It's interesting, a lot that we learn. And that's one of the reasons we do these shows as well, because somebody coming in with, you know, being newly diagnosed or with a brand new bullseye rash, their immediate thought is, oh, I need to go to the doctor and get antibiotics. And unfortunately, more times than not, it's too late before they even start on the first round of antibiotics. And then they're considered chronic Lyme. So I love to hear that, you know, people are going outside of their box, so to say, to find different natural treatments versus the traditional type of treatment.
Well, one of the tests that they had done, I didn't know you could do it, but they tested the parasites in her blood, and they actually sent me, you could see, it was freaky, but, and they said, so she was 12 at the time, and they said, she didn't happen to get bit around the time she was 5, did she? And I never told them I saw the tick, and it was going into kindergarten. So, they said that, the size of the parasite and the way they did something, they can age it out, and it was in her system for at least 7 years, and she was bit when she was 5.
Wow.
I was like, what? So she did. So then they knew to treat her as chronic Lyme, because other doctors wanted to treat her for MS. They were also told me she had rheumatoid arthritis. Another one, I had 3 doctors give me psych places for her. I had a doctor at Children's Hospital say that if I came back again, they were going to charge me with Munchausen disease because I'm making my daughter sick. Yeah, so actually when we had to go in for the immunoglobulin, I already knew all the medications that she was on, but there was certain ones I wouldn't tell them all the time because I just learned everything and what interacted with others, and so that I knew what to say, because they told me I was over-medicating her and I was scared they were going to take her because she's younger and it's happened at hospitals before. So I actually had my mom in there with me to be like my backup. I'm like, I'm not this one. So don't say anything. But I had to do it that way because they were threatening me with Munchausen disease and saying I was making her sick when I knew I wasn't. So, we were helping her.
So did they threaten you with CPS then? In some situations?
No, just that one time when he said that, but then after that I was so scared. They just said, you know, it's like you have Munchausen disease if you keep coming back with her like that, because that's where her abdominal migraines were when she was having her head migraines were at Children's. So, and then they were looking through her chart and they were just like, you know, there's not, when we do all these tests, there's nothing wrong with her. Because when they did her colonoscopy, there was nothing wrong, but yet they said she had abdominal migraines, but she was constantly sick.
Yeah, so that's fascinating to me, because, you know, with the colonoscopy, obviously you can only check the colon. You do endoscopy, you can only go so far down the smaller intestines. So you have no chance to see all of the intestinal tract. So here you're saying, because we're not seeing it in these small little areas, and even though we're only seeing maybe about 15% of the whole, and because we're not seeing it in the 15% of the whole, it can't exist in the rest of the 85. So now they're just saying that it's all in your head because we can't see it in the only 15% of what we're looking at. Yeah.
They kept saying she was depressed. That's why she was tired, that she wasn't really in pain. And like, but they didn't live with her. And we did. We knew she wasn't faking. There was no way she was faking. And I had all the tests to prove it. They just wouldn't look at them because it was not their lab.
Yeah. And honestly, she probably was depressed. I think that's a big issue that Lyme patients deal with, is depression and mental illness, because that's what it does to you. So many patients go down that road with at least one doctor that says it's all in your head, go home and see a psychiatrist. Yeah. And especially with somebody so young, that's just got to be just heart-wrenching to watch her go through that and miss some of her best years.
Right. And I had her in the office. Like, I had her, they would be like, oh, do you want her to wait in the lobby? And I was like, no, because if she needs to take 36 pills a day, she needs to know why. So she actually grew up kind of fast because I made her listen to everything that was going on in her body. So that, because she needed to know, like, I didn't want to come home and 2 days later be like, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that. You know, I don't feel good. So.
Right. Kind of like she doesn't believe you because you're her mom. But if she hears it from a doctor, maybe it gives a little bit more credibility. Okay, he did say so. I needed to take these. So, that's a tough one.
Well, and at the same time, we started with the osteopathic. The week before, I met with another doctor who was, he has a natural health center, but he also treats Lyme patients. But he was, when we went and saw him, he recommended a PICC line for her because it just, nothing else was working. And he's like, we need to get her off of these pills and this and that. I suggest a PICC line, you know, whatever. So then we sat there and her and I talked a lot over it, and we went and saw, met the osteopathic doctor, and then I gave it to her. I'm like, I know you're only 14, but what do you want to do? Do you want to do a PICC line? Do you want to do that? You know? And she's like, I'd like to try this other guy first, because he said if it doesn't work in 6 months, then we won't go. And she would have went back to the PICC line, but she never needed it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Right.
And the PICC line would have been then for antibiotic treatments and okay. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Because she had a leaky gut, and she, which I didn't know could happen, but I guess her intestines, all the medicine gave her a leaky gut, and they did one of her blood tests, and they said they saw like food particles in her blood. Her intestines were leaking so bad. So, which is why they couldn't give her any more oral.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And I'm curious, the blood test they did when they aged the parasite, was that like a live blood cell analysis where you take a little drop and you put underneath the scope and you see it on the screen? We have that at my center as well. It's really cool what you can see with that.
It's pretty wild. Yeah. I didn't let her see that because I saw it and I was itchy and like.
Yeah, see everything that's floating around.
It is a little crazy. I had mine up one day and the particular clinic I went to, they call it a dark field. I don't know if that's a true name for it or not, but
yeah, several different names for the same thing.
Okay. Yeah. So I saw my cell and I saw a spirochete escape from my cell while I was currently watching it.
Yeah.
It was so trippy and gross and scary and all of the above. So it was probably better that she didn't see it because I was 40 and I wasn't okay with it.
Yeah, she would. She still wouldn't be even though.
Yeah. Get it out of me. Yeah. how many times do I need to shower?
Exactly.
So how is she doing now? Is there anything? Where is she at? Is she completely?
She's actually doing really well. She's a senior in high school now. So she went most of freshman year and then her sophomore year was COVID and last year was COVID, but she did go most of her sophomore year and she knows now, because I had told her anyway too, I've always said, if you were going to get sick and miss school, middle school is the best years to miss. They're horrible. Nobody likes middle school. So at least you get to go to high school. But then in my head, I'm like, she needs to go off to college and she needs to know how to learn and live with this. And now she does. She knows when she's having a flare up. She knows if she has dance on Saturday morning and her friends are doing a sleepover, it's one or the other, because she can't do what all her friends can do because she will have a flare up. But she gets that. And she does, for being 17, she does really, really well.
That's okay. Awesome. Kind of cognitive, I mean, she's able to be there, focus, digestive, doing good.
Yep, so far so good. We do have a 504 for her at our school, which is like a medical, I have it set up where it's like for testing and stuff. If her migraines start up, especially when everything was on the computer, she's allowed to have one read to her. So we have a little things put in place, but she won't utilize it. She just did her SATs and because of her 504, she gets an extra half hour time. She wouldn't take it. I don't want to do it with that. I'm like, okay, whatever. So that's awesome. She's trying to live like every other kid.
Cool. How did she do?
She did great. She's doing them again in October. So
that's awesome. But
and now she'll know when she goes out because she's not doing a college where she can commute. She wants to go away. So
like any other teenager. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. We reeled her back in though. She was like, I want to go down to South Carolina. I'm like, well, you're only coming home at Christmas and at the end of school then, because Thanksgiving is a very expensive time to fly.
Yeah.
So now she's sticking in New England so far.
Good. Well, any other kind of tips that you would give for mothers that are dealing with their children that has Lyme's? I mean, that any kind of words of wisdom that you wish you would have known?
It's very scary in the beginning, and just to find if they can find other moms that have gone through similar situations. There are a lot more Lyme patients now, so sometimes it's a little bit easier. I did not know what to do or where to go. I can say it's not a good thing, it's not a bad thing. Some Facebook groups to watch out for, only because I started spiraling down thinking she wasn't going to get better. Because I'm listening and reading all these stories. And I was like, this, oh my God. And when it was supposed to be something to help for, like, inspiration, or what did you do for this, or what did you do for that? And you started hearing stories, and I was like, oh my gosh, she's not going to live through this. And I just had to take myself out of certain ones. So don't listen to all the bad stories, because it just, you know, mind over matter is what I kept saying to her too. Like, you got to stay positive. You got to always look for the future and just know that you can beat it. You just, it takes a while. I remember somebody telling me, I said she has Lyme disease, and they're like, oh, hold on for the ride. You're going to have at least 4 or 5 years ahead of you before she gets better. And I wanted to swear and be like, no, sir. And I did. I'm like, no, she'll be fine in like 6 months. And it was 5 years.
Yeah.
5 years of hell. But she's on the other side.
But I still think it's good to say, no way. It's still, you know, 6 months, maybe a year. Yeah. Even though you have in the back of your mind that if it takes that long, I'm still going to fight through that, you know, so
right.
I recognize I'm ready for marathon, but I'm going to give it a sprint, you know?
Yeah.
And I also know now, like, I've actually had a lot of people reach out to me and ask for the Lyme doctor that we use, but she's not doing it anymore. And I send them to Ellen, the magnetic therapy treatment lady, and the osteopathic first. I'm like, just look for the natural ways first. I think the medicine is what almost killed my daughter. I think in the beginning it definitely did help seeing that Lyme doctor. I mean, he knew which ones, he did the right tests, he did all of that stuff. And that's the route I thought I had to go. But now, if either one of us ever have a flare up, I would go the more natural way before I did anything else.
Yeah, I think that's very wise. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Me too. Yeah. It's definitely what saved my life.
Right.
Well,
saved hers too. Okay.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming and telling the story, because I mean, this is such a powerful story, what you and your sweet little daughter has gone through. I mean,
thank you. It's
so cool when you see people that have gone through this journey and really, it's hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And here she is, senior year, taking her SATs, getting ready for college, and she has her whole life ahead of her, and instead of being in the middle of this dark spot.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you did good, Mama. You stuck with her and got her better. And I know firsthand it's a hard, hard road. I was in my 30s and my 40s, and my mom was still taking care of me at that point. So
right.
it's hard. So you did great. And thank you again. Thank your daughter. Kylie, let her know how much this podcast is going to help others, just to give them that inspiration and that push to push one more day better. Because that's what we need a lot of times, is just that hope from someone that we can get better. So.
Oh, and a theme song. That was her other thing. She had a theme song.
She had a theme song?
It was that fight song. I forget the name.
Yeah.
Oh, by Rachel Platten.
Yes.
Yeah.
One of my favorite songs. Yeah. I swear I had that on repeat for about 2 years.
She was out cold on the way down to the doctor's in Connecticut, and she just looked at me and goes, this is my theme song. And they went back to bed. I was like, okay.
It is so perfect for a Lyme patient. Have you heard it before?
I've heard it. I know from my era, it would have been more the Eye of the Tiger in a Rocky movie.
Well, don't worry. I won't sing it to you, but I do know every word.
That's awesome.
Well, let her know that was my song too. It was my fight song. So, well, good for her. Thank you again for taking the time to share it with us. And just keep staying healthy, all of you guys.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
The information in this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com, and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook
at Lyme Conquerors, mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.